Welcome to the SEO Insider with your host, Seth Price, founder of Blue Shark, taking you inside the world of legal marketing and all things digital.
Welcome, everybody. We're excited today to have Alan Rodriguez, the founder of 1-400 with us. Welcome, Alan.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, it seems like you've done it. You've been in the legal space for a long time. And, you know, from the bar perspective, from LegalZoom, and now your own company. Tell us, what is 1-400 doing? And I want to get into where, you know, how you got there.
Yeah, so 1-400, we consider ourselves a law innovation agency. So, you know, our clients are basically lawyers, legal tech, and legal support organizations. The way we help people is we connect them, you know, we connect our clients with people who need their services. We primarily do that digitally. So there's digital marketing services, right, and all the ways that you connect people there. We also have a small software engineering portion of our business. I would say it probably represents about 20% of our business now, where we're creating web apps or other tools that are, you know, software based to help connect people. And then finally, through our consultancy work, where we help solve problems like alternative business models for law firms or intake problems, lead intake problems, and kind of use technology to help along those lines as well.
So how does somebody come to you? Do they come as a consulting client? Do they come as somebody who needs IT and you pivot? Like, what is the normal way that clients come into your organization?
You know, again, if somebody wants to grow, right? Like, so somebody has made a choice. Hey, we want to grow. Quite honestly, most people think the path towards growth is marketing, right? And so we typically start a conversation around that. But what we found that growth is actually a multifaceted kind of problem for our clients, right? So oftentimes what we'll find through our conversations with a prospect is that maybe they have all the business that they actually need. They're just not maximizing the lifetime value out of that business. They're not maybe maximizing like intake. They're not, you know, their contact rate on new prospects might be in the tank, you know what I mean? And so through conversations with them, we identify what those issues are. We strive to resolve those issues first. And then we can always just buy more leads, right? Like, you know, marketing and advertising is usually just kind of a money problem when you're dealing with the right team, right? Like when you're dealing with the right customer or the right agency that knows how to generate those leads, it's just arbitraging money, right? Like at that point. But it's all these other problems that typically go unresolved. And that's where we find like clients just kind of bounce around from agency to agency thinking it's the agency that's the problem. But we try to fix that.
So basically somebody comes to you. I mean, look, I run a 40 lawyer law firm and a digital agency. Yep. I see it from both sides, right?
Yeah.
You can make the phone ring, but if you're not answering the phone, if you're not capturing the lead, following up with it, and closing those cases. That's the first piece, right? So you may have plenty of marketing, but if you have that hole there, something we spend a lot of time on, is there a certain software you advocate for of the intake software? Or what's your first step as far as technology for intake? What do you like?
That's a good question. So we try to be agnostic, you know, in terms of like a specific recommendation, because not all,
Understood, but give me an example for a small startup firm versus a large firm. It doesn't have to be like, this is the only one. The answer is it depends, but give me examples of how you guys would place a law firm with, intake technology.
Clio Grow, for example, is a common solution that we might recommend. We're also Clio certified consultants, right? So because of our relationship and our familiarity with that product, we might deploy that. However, there are limitations, right? You know, there's a lack of true automation in some parts of that software. So in that case, we might use like an Active Campaign or some other kind of non-law specific kind of software to solve the problem.
I'll just add, look, I geek out on this stuff all the time. What are your thoughts on Lawmatics as a Clio integrator?
Yeah, so Lawmatics is pretty good. Actually, we just spoke with a client where we're wrapping up a Lawmatics product. I think it's great. I think it gets you closer to truer automation, right? You know, in terms of like helping with your lead intake and whatnot. you know, they all have kind of their pros and their cons. I think there's some limitations to Lawmatics too. It really depends on where the firm is, you know, in terms of their own marketing journey and their own growth journey. But I think it's a great starting point. Lawmatics, Clio Grow, like some legal industry specific solutions.
No, I was really excited when Clio bought Lexicata and turned it into Clio Grow, because it seemed like it was the missing piece. My non-plaintiff's practice part of my firm uses Clio, and we're crazy. We use Salesforce as our intake software, but I think I sort of took the attitude nobody gets fired for using Salesforce. But the integrations have, because it's not normal, very few people are using it except for some of the new PI technologies that are built on it. It's been harder, I think, for integrating than I would have expected, because it's so customizable, but it's not in demand. Clio's getting calls about Lexicata, about Lawmatics or other things like that. Do you deal much in the plaintiff space? Have you sort of seen the Law Ruler, Lead Docket, Captoras of the world?
Yeah, so we do a lot of work in the plaintiff space. We've done some work with mass tort firms where, you know, if you're generating that much lead flow and you're managing that many prospects, Salesforce, you know, is probably the right solution. There's other things that you can do. You know, you customize, like, for example, we're working with a firm out here in Southern California. They're a tenant plaintiff firm, but they really kind of prosecute these matters like mass torts, because they'll go after an entire apartment complex, that sort of thing. And one of the interesting things that you can do with the technology is we could figure out like where these slumlords are aggregating, right? And we can create like a geo map to kind of show like the plotting of like different geographies. So that way we can maybe do more proactive marketing, you know, in terms of identifying like where these kind of slum lords are, you know, aggregating. So you can do that with the Salesforce. You can't really do that with like, say, some of the other solutions, but now we're kind of entering in the realm of like customizing using APIs and other sophisticated integrations.
You know, I geek out on the marketing side. It's how I built my firm, and definitely a passion and what's driven Blue Shark. Talk to me about, you know, what you see for clients and their needs as far as, you know, in the B2C world. My philosophy is, you know, if you're not part of that direct response world where search, whether it be PPC or LSA, the maps or organic, like that's where traffic is. You know, it sounds like you have an eclectic group of clients, whether it's B2B, where that's not always the first place you go, or if it's mass torts, where social works that much better than direct search. How do you balance sort of the needs of clients? Because I think one of the things I very directly will tell somebody, if somebody comes to Blue Shark and a B2B player, you know, I want to know, hey, are you maxing out your interpersonal relationships? Do you have season tickets? Are you a member of a local club you can take people to? Because it's not like SEO is going to magically get a B2B person business overnight. Like, it may not be where the first, you're not going to get your highest and best ROI from SEO necessarily. Like I believe in it. I know it works over time, but if you're not doing the fundamentals of connecting with, you know, general counsels and places that can bring you business, I think you're missing out. I assume that you have a similar sort of like, you're trying to figure out what's right for each client.
Yeah, for sure. Like in the B2C space, you know, like people are hiring lawyers based on compelling events, right? So if you're there present, whether it's search or through an ad or whatever other means, during that compelling event, you have a high likelihood of closing that deal. It's pretty easy, right? Like all things considered.
Right.
Now on the B2B space, like, it's a very long tail. And I think a lot of clients are maybe misinformed, right? Like, hey, this SEO strategy is gonna get me that client. No, it's gonna get you traffic, but that client is gonna happen through a longer series of content, educating them, building the relationship. So, you know, you still need that kind of like good old business development kind of efforts, you know, that human touch kind of reaching out. The marketing and advertising really just complement that, right? So it's really kind of
great to be there, but if you're not, if somebody, it's up, like in a perfect world, if there's enough search traffic, you know, somebody will find you. Like, can an IP lawyer be found online? Yes. But the real, like everything else, I'm struggling this with right now. I have a civil litigator at Price Benowitz, and like we're optimizing and we're now showing for things, but it's not generating, you know, the necessarily Mac Daddy clients that you want just through search. It takes that 1-2 punch of the offline gravitas to, okay, now I'm searching and I recognize this brand or this name, but to sort of like have no brand or name and not be known for an area of law and just hope that the B2B world is going to find you through search and go there, unless it's super niche and you somehow create a site just about that area of law,
yeah,
and somebody sees you as that expert, I almost feel like going back to the old blogging world where you sort of created authority online for something, it's just hard to be the king of many different things that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just even using my own business as an example, right? We're a B2B business, you know, right. Like we service, you know, law firms. So our journey isn't just like Google Ads or, you know, SEO. Like, yes, we do those things. They're part of, you know, our overall strategy, but it's like creating content. It's being on a video like this one, right?
Right.
Like, you know, where we're creating content, creating awareness, and then once people are aware that we exist, we have to go out and kind of sell, right? Like we have to go out and do business development.
Being fully transparent. So Alan and I were on a prep call for a Clio webinar and didn't know each other, which is shocking because we sort of traveled right. very similar circles. And, you know, to me, it's one of those deals where it's actually what you just said, very, very true. Because look, could you optimize or buy clicks for law firm consultant? You could, but that means a lot of things to a lot of people. So could you do, you know, intake consultant and financial consultant and marketing? You could, but if the brand isn't known, I think it's that much harder. That said, you know, to me, you would be ripe for targeted Facebook where you know your audience and you know who it's going to. Now, is it going to work immediately? No, but if they see 1-400 enough times and it becomes a brand early on, and we just lost a legend in the space, but Stephen Fairley ran the Rainmaker Institute. He did this early on with lawyers. He targeted lawyers. It was always in your inbox. It was always on early Facebook. It was just brilliant how he did that. And then all of a sudden it became a solution for people. And I feel like that is, it's, you know, a combination of when somebody is looking, but, you know, the purpose of this returning this get to know you call into a webinar is, you know, genuinely it's unpacking a lot of different stuff. I would not know that 1-400 does intake consulting. There aren't that many people out there doing it or doing it well. You know, so that's one piece. The fact that you're, you know, I'm a marketing company and you're doing that, it's great to sort of see those different synergies. Let's pivot for a second to the technology side, because to me, this is another whole area that is, you know, we bootstrapped our own firm, you know, and we hung tight for the most part on Google Apps. And one of the things that is sort of interesting is the sort of world of technology implementers that have morphed into a very good business model for them at like $1.20 a seat per month to sort of control your entire environment. You know, IT used to be free. You just paid somebody hourly to make sure it worked to now it's a fixed cost expense, not in, you know, for a mid-sized firm, not nothing. And the question is, you know, how do you navigate those worlds? Do you bite the bullet and pay for a fully managed place here? Or do you put it up and do you, now that everything's in the cloud, especially, you know, all the softwares you're talking about, can you manage this without that expense with some sort of consultant to make sure it's set up right to do both hardware customer service as well as software updates and troubleshooting? You know, do you need the person who's fully managed given that you have all these other softwares? You know, where do you guys fall on that?
Yeah, so we don't provide any managed IT services, right? So I can't speak to the business model. I can tell you though, like I pay for convenience, right? Like I'm willing to pay for convenience, and I think most consumers that's what they're buying in a lot of cases, right? They're buying some kind of convenience, and so if I don't have to troubleshoot my own IT issues, that sort of thing, like
well, of course you're not going to be doing it. The question is, do you fall into the widget? It's like. Many software started out, all the software started out where you would like pay $500 for the license and then maybe a maintenance upgrade.
Yeah.
And pretty much everybody got smart to the fact you make a lot more money charging a recurring revenue over time. Clio entered a market which was primarily buying licenses and they said, no, we're not playing that game. You know, brought the Salesforce pricing model to it and have slowly creeps it up to a very good business model for them. And yes, you're paying for convenience. It works.
Yeah.
There's no updating software. It's just, it's all there and taken care of for you. I'm just curious from a consulting point of view, given that everything is now moving into the cloud, do you need that per seat expense or are there solutions? Because most of the people, just like Clio, has said, hey, we're not playing this game. You're paying this much per seat, per person, these different tiers. You know, many of the IT vendors have moved in that direction as well. Is that something you think law firms should be at, or with the right talent, either full or part-time, depending on your size, can you get away without those sort of fixed costs to your firm?
I see what you're saying. I think, you know, it comes down to kind of being able to do the math, right? Like as a startup, you probably have to bite the bullet, right? Like you're essentially outsourcing that, you know, that service, right, to that company. But like depending, you know, once you get to a certain size, then you can pull that experience in-house if that brings you better, you know, service, faster turnaround times, and then saves you some money. So I think there's
look, there's no right answer. When you go one direction, it's risk. To me, I am just thrilled that everything has moved towards the cloud. I know that I'm unlikely to find an in-house person for sure, an outside vendor. Like if I go down, I want it to be because Google screwed up or Clio screwed up, not because the guy that I have in house that talks funny and I don't really understand fully the idea that we have sort of traded, while Clio costs more than their prior incarnations with other companies, the fact is they solve problems for you and take a certain amount of risk and liability away from you, which I really like. And the fact that that's there, I get it. Yes, you're paying for convenience. The question is, as people, and that's what I was pushing you on, is as more and more of your solutions are cloud-based and not managing a server in-house, you know, are we getting to the point where that the virtual piece that, you know, I'm always looking for, like, as an owner, will something come down in cost? Will the management of your IT come down because you're doing less and less? You're really just turning on a monitor and having an internet connection for much of what you're doing throughout the day.
Yeah, you know, I'm still oftentimes surprised, like, people are still kind of on these legacy systems. I mean, you know, like, if COVID has done more to, like, help adopt, like, technology, you know, than we have been able to do in, like, my 21-year career in the legal industry, right? So, like, for us, you know, we still have a physical office, but, you know, we're 100% remote right now because of COVID. I mean, I remember on March 13th, all we had to do is really clean out the fridge and give each other one last hug and whatever, right? Like business as usual, because all of our systems are cloud-based, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, I mean, I think there are some clear advantages, you know, like those legacy systems are, you know, the cost to kind of maintain those now are starting to increase substantially. So even like when you look at the kind of subscription, like cloud-based model for these cloud solutions, like I think you'll find that they still remain competitive, you know, and with all the other advantages that you get of being a cloud-based organization.
No, it was wonderful. I mean, for many of us, you know, it was not ideal, but it was very doable.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that's not going back. You know, I don't see people working 5 days a week in the office anytime soon. You know, even if magically we were okay tomorrow, that like we've seen that we can do things, we can trust things. And look, there'll be a yin yang. Because, you know, look, I'm just 5 minutes ago, I have a meltdown of homeschooling going on behind me. It's not perfect. And I have enough space in my home to put up with it. I have a lot of key employees that are in an apartment or a condo and, you know, they're raising kids and that, you know, everything that has thrown off equilibrium and it there's a lot of stress. Any other areas of 1-400 to explore? We talked about the you know, intake, the marketing, the technology, any other areas?
One other area, I think, like, so a lot of people approach us as a technology company and looking for a tech solution. And oftentimes the thing that we find, it's like, well, you know, not everything needs like a tech solution, right? Sometimes just a little creative thinking. So, you know, kind of tying this back into, we're talking about SaaS and software. one of the areas that we're seeing a lot of growth with in law firms is subscription-based services, right? So rather than pay your attorney an hourly fee, why don't you just hire them on a subscription basis? This works particularly well with B2B, you know, firms,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, like outside general counsel and all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, just like that kind of fractional work, you know, and so like adopting a different business model isn't a high-tech solution. It's just like, you know, having being bold enough to like drive it. Now there is software and there are technologies that can help.
Once you make that decision.
Yeah. You know, but outside of that, like oftentimes what we find, you know, as people come to us for tech, and oftentimes it's just good old process, right? Like good old, you know, checklist.
Right. And then look, I get that all the time. Somebody comes for law and it's really a business decision.
Yeah.
Somebody comes for marketing and it's really an HR. You know, there's all sorts of things where you really, people don't, you know, it's hard when it's easy to see as an outsider, which is why consultants are great. How does the pricing model work? Somebody comes to you and says, hey, I'm really confused about what to do for intake. How does a client, you know, what do you, how do you approach that?
Yeah. So we want to exemplify the change we'd like to see in the industry. So we try to set our pricing accordingly, right? So if we can scope the work, and 90% of the time we can scope the work, then we'll put a bid on a flat fee, right? It offers predictability to the client. It allows us to kind of work within, you know, kind of set parameters and then deliver a specific outcome based on that scope. So that's the way we do it. In the case where we can't determine scope or somebody kind of needs to use this as a sounding board or something like that, then we charge hourly. You know, as consultants, you can just pay for our time, right? You know, to be that sounding board. Somebody might, you know, give us a retainer and say, hey, I just kind of want to use you for this sort of thing. But those are really the minority of our projects. Most of the stuff we'll figure out scope and we'll bid on it.
You will. So, I mean, because that to me, that's, it's like whether, you know, there are so many people don't always know what they need when they come in. So I assume that you do a 360 for somebody to sort of figure out where you can help them. How do you figure out what somebody thinks they know what they need, but how do you figure out what based on your guys' consulting expertise makes sense for an engagement?
Yeah. So it's, you know, just first off, anybody that reaches out to us, like we have this philosophy where we don't sell, we help. Right. And through our help, like we'll get
you'll
the
make
sale,
your money.
You know, yeah, we'll make our money. So typically an initial consultation is like, they think they need this particular thing. And sometimes they do need, in fact, you know, that one thing, but oftentimes we find that like, oh, they need several other things, right? And so through that initial consultation, we'll typically inspire some other ideas or thoughts in them. If it turns out like, yes, they do need this other thing, there's probably some initial scope there. So like if it's a marketing agreement, you know, they say, I need SEO some kind of tactic, right? And we say, well, actually, what you need is a plan of attack, right? So we might sell them a marketing strategy then, like, hey, here's how long it takes us to put this together. Here's what we charge for that. This should be your starting point. You know, it's so then we'll do that. And same with consulting or some other kind of software development project. They'll be like, hey, I want to develop this web app. And like, well, why? What's the purpose? What would an MVP look like, right? Minimal viable product. What are all those things? And so what we might do is sell them kind of the plan initially, the design, so to speak, the roadmap. And then that way, whether they hire us to kind of follow the roadmap and build that out for them or some other agency, they have a solid roadmap. You know.
Well, that's great. So we could go on forever. I know you're trying to multitask work with vacation. any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
No, you know, I think, you know, as people kind of explore potential solutions, whether they're technology based, you know, like I think these are always better when you come to the experience with a plan, right? Like, I would say, you know, maybe focus on your desired outcome and then let your partner kind of help you determine the right path towards that desired outcome. Because a lot of people, whether it's consulting services, technology, or marketing, a lot of people come with the tactic, you know, and rather than the desired outcome.
You know, and it's funny, I came to this, I'll take myself back in the time machine a couple of years. We had fallen just to get, like, my law firm started out with the cheapest software ever. We found it at a trade show. It was designed for public defenders, and they charged us $40 a month for online software. It wasn't very robust, but it was case management. And one day the guy called me and he's like, you know, at this point we had about 40 users. And the guy called me and he said, you know, we're using a lot of users now. We got to raise your rate. And I'm expecting like $50 a person per month. And he's like, we got to go to $80 per month for everybody. And I'm just like, okay, we could do that. We could do that.
Yeah.
And that's why when I went to find like the next level, when it was time to upgrade and say, okay, we're ready for the big boys. Part of the frustration in finding software I found, and I think one of the things you probably makes you guys really valuable, is that when you Google online for case management software, it'd be Clio or sure. MyCase or whatever the different, you know, whatever the choices of the day are in the non-PI space, for example, the problem is that so many of the reviews and sort of editorials about things are paid placements by those groups. Like they have yep. advocates out there, not yep. in a bad way, but it is so hard to find an independent person because most law firms tell you what they like or don't like about a mm-hmm. software, but you don't know what their prejudices are. You don't know whether they are using stuff well. And if yep. they had used this other one, they might've been much better off. So the idea, I think that, you know, there's one very prominent blogger who sort of quasi reviews them, but they're one-offs rather than somebody who says, hey, we're looking inside of six law firms at the size you're at. This makes sense for you now, you know, and somebody says, hey, what about this? It's like, well, you could do that, but that's generally for somebody at this stage or if you wanted these benefits. And to me, mm-hmm. that is the piece that the world is missing. So the fact that you're pushing into that direction, I think is awesome because I know for myself, it was a very lonely process where you ask people their opinion, but it's like, you know, on Facebook, when somebody's reviewing, you know, a restaurant, you have no idea what their taste in yeah. food is, if you agree yeah. with it. And if they've been mm-hmm. to the place that would be, you know, have they been to other places that would have been better, but they went there. So they want to tell you they love it. So,
yeah, let me give you the quick analogy. So this is the same story we share with everybody who's like in the market. And so it's like, if you've ever had to remodel like a bathroom or a kitchen or something like that, then you say, look, I'm going to talk to three contractors so I can get an average price. So you call in contractor number one, they're like, look, we're going to use this type of tile. We're going to use this type of shower head, whatever. Contractor number two says, no, you don't want to use that kind of tile. You want to use this tile. And so every contractor is selling you on a solution that they prefer, right? And so the better experience is go out and get it designed, right? By like an independent third person, get the kind of bathroom designed or the kitchen designed, then call in all the contractors on a Saturday morning, give them the project design, say, look, I need three bids on this, right? So what I'm saying
on that, because look, for most people, we're buying out of the box. So yeah. you could say what you want, and which one is closest, but really to a certain extent, it's like, where are each of these softwares and getting away from what's going to happen, right? With every one of them, they're telling us what's planning and you have no idea if it's 3 months away or 3 or 4 years away.
And that's why I'm saying, like, you know, the law firm, they need to like capture their own workflow first, right? Because here's the other problem. You buy some out of the box solution. It's got all these great bells and whistles,
right?
But you underutilize it.
Well, it's true
because you haven't mastered your workflow, right?
Understood.
You know what I mean? So,
but to a certain extent, that like, it also depends where you are in your life cycle. Like yeah. right now, I could give you workflow. I probably couldn't 7 years ago because we were growing, we're figuring stuff out. And so part of what people turn to the software for is to help them with that workflow. I know that's not the right way to yeah. do it, yeah. but that, you know, you don't know what's possible. And that to me, again, my gripe, you know, we moved on the PI side with a Smart Advocate to a Smart Advocate today from TrialWorks in the past. And a lot of people have like other legacy systems was that to me, one of the things I scream for these companies to do is to have more customizable options that are options. The idea that you're going to design stuff, so few people actually take the time. Maybe you guys can do that, but most people haven't found you yet. So the idea that here's 10 reports, which ones do you want? Rather than saying, hey, you can customize anything you want. It's not, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And my guess is like when you go to a restaurant, say, what's the most popular dish? Now, is that going to be the best dish? Are you going to like it? Is it even your taste? But at least you know these are the most people who come here have one of these three dishes. And I feel like I wish that the software companies, basically said, look, we know more about what you need than you know what you need. Here it is. If you really want, after looking at all our different pre-customizable reports, you want something else, great, we'll do it. But I feel that most softwares don't give you the option to sort of say, to do choose like old Chinese menu wise, where from A, B, and C, they're basically saying, hey, we could do anything. That's great. But for the average business owner, law firm business owner, it's almost like you don't want to reinvent the wheel. If this is what's been important to every other law firm and there are people like you out there consulting with them, why should you have to do it from scratch? That's my own personal gripe. I'll get off my soapbox.
Yeah, no, I hear you, you know, and it's a compelling argument, but I would say, like, you know, software companies, I mean, they're obviously like they're making these big capital investments, right, and building solutions. So they kind of want a one size fits all. But like, you know, prosecuting work as a family law attorney versus a bankruptcy attorney versus, you know, like DI attorney, right?
No, but that's why I think if I was, you know, mayor of this world, I would say, hey, if you're buying a software and you're a family law, there would be pre-templated family law options there.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get like a report for corp things. You may have pings to tell you to touch base with clients, something with family law in particular, money, such a big deal that you had alerts when money in the escrow accounts goes below a certain amount. So you could ask for more. There are things that are specific to each practice area, which could be so valuable where you don't know to ask it, but they know. They have so many freaking bankruptcy clients, so many freaking family law clients. They could put that together and turn that into something. That's my personal gripe. Again, not everybody has an Allen that can sort of say, I'm going to set you up with this. Great. But, you know, things that we've sort of, look, at this point on my PI software, we actually have a full-time person in-house who's been doing it for the last 9 months, a paralegal who pulled out of day-to-day paralegaling, who just creates systems and reports. And, you know, I can't imagine, again, that we're at that point, but it's the greatest thing ever. And without it, you're right. We're using 10% of our old software.
Yep. You know, 100%. Yeah. You know, and unfortunately, like that's where, you know, again, I come at this where like sometimes the best tech solution is a low tech solution. And so like, if somebody is like looking for the best bells and whistles, I might push back and say like, hey, why don't we just figure out the workflow first? Why don't you figure out the workflow first? Why don't you go talk to other successful family law attorneys, build your network, right? And then figure out like what's working for them.
What I'm saying is I just, in my perfect world, that would be an, like they would say, hey, here are three family law options. Are you more flat fee or more hourly? And then because like, think about how inefficient that world is you're talking about, where you have to go network and research and you have to find somebody who's willing to talk. Yep. First, you have to talk to them. Then they have to be willing to share with you. Then you have to assume they're telling you the right thing that they have.
Right,
and you have
right.
to assume that they know what the hell they're talking about, because most law firms are so deficient in how they run their business. Yeah.
I think it's coming. I think that's what AI, you know, and big data, you know, aims to accomplish, right?
Like, and I'm saying it's one step before that.
Yeah.
All of that's great. And that's going to make our lives better and better, hopefully. But the idea that that law firms are, you're saying figure out your workflow, great. But I'm saying is I feel like there's a huge demand for people to give proposed workflows. So you could say, hey, I'm pretty close to that. I can work with that rather than having to sort of build something out from scratch, which I have seen. If you go around so many law firms, you sign up, you get trained. And I'm guilty of this. We had one situation where we got everybody trained. And then one day I woke up and realized that like early on, over 5 years, 40% of the team wasn't there. And the new people had not really been trained well enough. And I'm losing my mind because you're paying for this software and you have these people. So now, it's one of those things. It's also how pricing goes, because you know, the training is a la carte. So it's just another scary expense. But you know, to a certain extent, I almost wish that the companies charge an extra $10 a month for the software, and it almost went to like their own escrow. And that would, they forced you to have X amount of training, because without it, you know, you really can't start, you know, you're not using the software well.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you're describing is happening outside of the legal industry in a lot of ways, right? Like there's a lot of like really great tech that says, oh, you've never done this before. Here, let us walk you through that. Here are some templates. Here's how you get started, right? So they're kind of proposing these workflows. I think legal tech is one of those areas where, you know, we're still emerging, you know, as an industry vertical. And so, you know, because of the people make arguments of the complexity of law, you know, the complexity like in all the different jurisdictions, all the different courts, all the different rules. So it's really hard to build for that. But I agree with you on that point. And I think it's coming.
It's like the big boys, like Salesforce. We went to sale, you had to build everything from scratch. I'm just like, man, wouldn't it be great if here's your legal, here is your law firm, you know, here's your family law firm here, you know, again, that Salesforce is not meant for law. It's meant for other stuff. Yeah. But the idea, hey, I'm an inbound, you know, I'm inbound sales. Okay. Yeah. Set it up this. And there's so much, it's great that it's customizable. And I know, like, I don't disagree with you. Yes, you need to figure out your workflows and then find out what's out there. But that's a lot more heavy lifting. I just, you know, what I love about Clio Grow is, look, it may not be the most robust thing in the world, but it works. Yep. And so and for most people, I mean, I saw Michael when he had Lexicata, he'd be at trade shows and people were like, he was like teaching people how to slice the bread. They're like, wow. Like meaning he's taking people from nothing to really a very viable, you know, a very viable solution, which puts you light years ahead about not doing anything. So and that's part of it. It's like getting those things going. And I feel like some of the newer softwares that I've seen, like the lead dockets, you know, they did a very nice job of doing a very nice sliver really well. And that probably led to their acquisition, you know, by Filevine. So it's, you know, to be continued. I can't wait for our upcoming webinar with Clio and getting to know you more. But really, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure being on here with you. And this was a lot of fun. I look forward to working with you.
Sounds great.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the SEO Insider with Seth Price. Be sure to check back next week for fresh insights into building your brand's online presence. Episodes are available to stream directly on Blue Shark Digital's website.